Welcome to episode 164 of Terrorvision Horror Podcast, our more relaxed fit episode. I'm one of your hosts, Jennifer Strand, and joining me is my favourite limb collector, Dan McGuinness.
Hello.
Hello. We've had a little bit of a time off because of our new scheduling. How you been doing?
It's not time off now. Now it's it's like how we live now.
Yeah.
Which is nice.
Yes. How are you going? What have you been doing?
So in this time, I did important things like I shaved in my first moustache.
I know. I'm sitting across from a moustachioed McGuinness.
I tried it before in my life and it didn't really work. Mm. I just didn't cut it right.
Are you going to start like growing it up and twirling? You're not going to do anything
no,
fancy?
No, fuck no.
No oils? Nah,
let's be manly.
Yeah.
I was like, you know those like Western moustaches, Magnum P.I.
Oh, yeah.
What was the Western show that everyone used to love? Deadwood.
Oh, yep. Yep.
You know, those kind of moustaches I'm trying to go for. Like, yeah. And I had to look up on how to do it properly. I was like, where do you start and stop it? You just go where your mouth goes out. Like,
yeah.
And I didn't know that. I've like cut it in the wrong spots and this looks like I just look like bloody John Waters. Waters?
There is nothing wrong with looking like John Waters.
There's heaps of things wrong.
No, nothing.
He's a creep. And then this month I noticed that on Game Pass, Dead Island 2 came up. And yep. I liked Dead Island 1 and I did Dying Light and I like my like shorter games and I got that one. I was pretty excited and it's fucking awesome. I showed you some of it today.
You did, yes. And then I immediately texted Liz and said, hey, this is free on Game Pass. Can you download it?
Oh, really?
Yep.
Yeah, it's just like the gore levels, like as a horror podcast, like the gore level's so good. Like it, you know, you got all your weapons. This is like one of those weapons and you can combine, you know, you can modify them, craft them so you can, but it's not like you have to do hard stuff. It's just like make it into, you know, this knife can now also put toxic waste on people and the bodies actually still get hurt, but they also melt at the same time. Or you can catch them on fire, or you can electrocute them, or you can do like more bludgeoning damage. And if like you've got if you've got a sledgehammer and you hit them in the arm, it actually like breaks their arm and compound fractures it and it'll be hanging off by like the skin.
Yeah.
Or if you cut them at like where you cut them, it actually cuts them and it cuts their clothes and it's just on a whole different level of gore. Like you can like, there'll be bits where you'll like to stab a knife into their face and it'll get stuck in there and like both it'll make their eye pop out and stuff, or you can see you can hit jaws off.
Yeah.
It has like layers of flesh, so it's not just like, you know, and then the bones and then it has the organs in there. And so, and there's like different versions of, you know, there's drier ones and wetter ones and it's just so fucking detailed with the gore and it's so fun and it's funny and it's set in like, LA, Bel-Air, you know, those kind of places, Venice Beach and stuff like that.
Yep.
So it's like the uber rich. It's happened, this zombie apocalypse, and you start on a plane and you crash. So you get to choose who you want to be, and I chose. So you're someone who's not really from there. And I chose this, like, English, kind of like, English punk black dude. And he's like, he's great. And I was like worried I wasn't going to like the character, but he's like really nice and he's like really into everything. And it's just a good game. Like, and I really like, appreciate a good game. They introduce different zombies later and then you can start pulling bits out of them and adding them to your weapons. So they, it's a whole storyline, but you can make them explode and stuff like that. And it's just fun.
Yeah.
Just
it definitely looked really good.
You know, it's all elements. So there's like, you know, there's like water barrels around and there's like electricity, so if you can dump water on the ground and then put electricity into it, you can zap the zombie, you know, but it's not puzzle based or anything. So it'll just be like, and there's like lots of chaotic things can happen, like, you know, like bits will, if you use fire then like you won't notice that there's an exploding drum and then that'll explode something else and that'll knock this over, you know, like it's just, I like the chaos of it. And yeah, it's just the story kind of thing, going through the tropes, but it's super gory. Like the gore, and because it's set in these like nice, uber rich, like 1%er people, like houses, like ridiculous houses are in it as well. And it's just like, you get to walk around these crazy good houses.
Well, what I really liked about watching it for the brief time that we did today is that they are these giant sort of open houses. They're very bright. They're not colorful. They're white, you know, white with all the big windows.
There's no dark or.
So it's just watching all this bloodshed happen in this real fancy tiled white kind of area.
Just, it's a good juxtaposition.
Yeah, it looks really good.
And because it's been a zombie breakout, you'll come into rooms where you can see shit's happened and it's fucking full on because like, it's usually so clean. It's like the juxtaposition of like this gore on this like, just such a over-designed house and stuff like that. Is this different?
Yeah.
And I'm like, so it's not in a scary mansion. It's not run down. It's not post-apocalyptic. It's just happened. And like within that week, it's just happened. And like, so it's all fresh. Everything's clean still. Like the cars, you know, all the cars are still there. So you can take batteries out of cars and throw them into pools. If the zombies are, you know, you can just like.
Yeah.
And it's just a good game. Like, I'm not saying it's the best game.
No.
But it's like heaps good fun.
Hmm.
And it always helps when the character you are is kind of fun and cool.
Yes, of course.
And yeah. And then I also started watching Stan Against Evil, which I just saw it in my Apple Plus, whatever it's called, like streaming service.
Yep.
And I was just impressed with it. It was like, so it's a guy from Scrubs. I can't remember his name now.
It's like CJ
or whatever. Yeah, so he's the angry. He's like the mean guy from Scrubs, the older guy, the main, you know, doctor guy.
Dr. Cox.
Yeah, Dr. Cox. And he's playing now. It's basically like a cross of like Ash versus the Army of Evil Dead, whatever it's called. So he's this crotchety old dude. He's like John Carpenter.
Yeah.
He's a crotchety old dude who's like a sheriff in a country town. And it's kind of cheesy, like monster of the week kind of stuff. But like the story is that it's like there were witch trials and the sheriff of the town got cursed. That every sheriff has died before him, but he never died and he's retired. And the new sheriff is taking over. He's like this pretty young girl who's like in heaps of stuff.
Mm.
And but the reason he didn't die is because he didn't know his wife was like protecting him the whole time. She was like a fucking demon fighter or whatever. So he got her sewing room, which he doesn't go in.
Yeah.
And they go in there and it's like all this like anti, you know, like fighting weaponry, all these books. So she starts with her, like she dies and he retires because of that. And then the new sheriff comes in and because she's not around anymore, these demons start coming and he just hasn't noticed it the whole time. He's like, and he's a full crotchety, like he's a full just man. Like there's a bit where he's like, she pulls him over, like, and he's putting sugar in his coffee and he like, he won't put sugar in his coffee because he only considers that like gay people put sweeteners in shit. Like he's this full country.
Yeah.
But you hate him and love him as well. Like,
sure.
So yeah. And you know, he goes, I wouldn't. She goes, why don't you put it in the shop? He goes, I'm not going to let people see that I have my sweetener and my, like, I have sweet coffee. It's like, and she's like, who the fuck are you? And he's always ranting over like what's wrong with everything. And it's so good. And he only watches World War II documentaries.
Oh,
he's that guy. He sits with his beer. Yeah, but you kind of get this like full on like, you know, Evil Dead, him kind of like Bruce Campbell kind of old character crossed with like Todd in the Book of Pure Evil kind of vibe where it's just like, because, like, you know, they have scenes where, you know, some weeks it's like an Exorcist vibe or, you know, and it's just fun, dumb. It's not as violent as it could be. It's still pretty violent. It's more violent than the film we watched last week.
Yeah, sure.
But yeah, that's what I've been doing in the last.
Fantastic. Well, I went and watched Imaginary, which is one of the new Blumhouse ones. It's Chauncey. He's not your friend and he's, I don't know, I can't remember the tagline. It was awful.
Yeah, I think some other people, I think I saw Netherlands doing like, what the fuck's wrong with Blumhouse?
Yes.
Why we see these shit films all the time?
Yes, pretty much. So this was written and I believe directed by the same guy that did Night Swim, which was released at the beginning of the year and was also awful.
They must just make enough money.
Yes.
Because they do it on such a cheap that they like bring back double the money.
Yes.
And that's worth doing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, Imaginary, I wouldn't necessarily say it was for me. It wasn't for the Netherlands. It's like a gateway horror for a bunch of kids. So it is M-rated, I think. It's definitely not MA.
Is it, but it wasn't a good gateway horror? don't feel any gateway horror is a good horror.
Oh, look, I think it will have its audience. It definitely will. But for us, watching it in the cinema, because I saw it with the Netherneuse, like, we basically tapped out within the first, I don't know, 20 minutes of the film and started rewriting it in the cinema ourselves because it was just bad. I really like the look of Chauncey as the bear.
What's his name? Chauncey.
Chauncey. And I love the name Chauncey. Yeah. It's just so, you don't hear that often, ever.
Is it a real name?
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah, I'd say so. I'm pretty certain Fry's granddad's name's Chauncey or something in Futurama.
I don't know. I wouldn't even.
That was pretty disappointing, but I also went in with zero expectation. I also went and saw
Love Lies. When you have zero expectation, it usually means that you enjoy it.
Nah.
So it must have been real bad.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. Like,
if you had no expectation and it was still shit?
It was nothing but exposition the whole way through the film. And then we end up in, you know, there's the rules, there's this and this is happening. And then it's like a dream within a dream. And then it was just a lot of bullshit going on that really didn't need to be there. But that's okay because I did go and see Love Lies Bleeding, which is the new A24 film with Kristen Stewart and I can't remember her name. I want to say Katie O'Brien. It's the bodybuilding crime thriller and it's gay as hell. Dave Franco's in it. He's sporting an awful mullet and I'm talking like a proper 80s mullet, not this fancy shaved kind of fashion mullet. Dave Franco, James Franco's brother. He's in 21 Jump Street.
Yep. So it's not the other guy who's cancelled.
Not James Franco, no. But this is really good. So this is definitely more of a crime thriller as opposed to a straight-up horror film, but there are elements of horror in it. It's directed by Rose Glass, who also did St. Maud, which was released a couple years back. I still haven't watched it, but I kind of think I need to get there real quick because I really like this film. The soundtrack was great. I've been listening to it pretty much since I went and saw it last week. And, the performances were fantastic. We got some really good body horror in it as well.
Yeah,
like,
cool.
There's some real violent moments in it, and it was just good. But we're not talking about bodybuilding lesbians today, much to my sadness. We are talking about techno-horror.
Techno-horror.
Techno-horror. So coming off of a brain scan last fortnight, whatever,
last time,
I thought we'd sit down and finally get through a techno-horror episode. So techno-horror has evolved significantly over the past 70 years, and it's always reflecting changes in technology, societal fears, and storytelling techniques. So from the 1950s to the 1960s, we had the emergence of science fiction horror, which was at the dawn of the space age and Cold War anxieties.
It's always like...
That's a lot of the atomic fears.
It's always the fears. It's always just the shit that people is new and scary.
Yeah, exactly. So the 1970s to the 1980s, we had technological paranoia. So as technology became more integrated into daily life, horror films began to explore the dangers of technology. The 1990s was the internet and virtual reality. So the rise of the internet and virtual reality inspired a new wave of techno-horror films like Lawnmower Man and Existence, blurring the lines between reality and virtual worlds.
Ooh. Which are only just getting into now, with the metaverse.
It's taken us a little while. The 2000s was found footage and surveillance. So with the proliferation of surveillance technology and the popularity of found footage films, techno horror took on new forms. So films like Paranormal Activity you could consider, and as well as Cloverfield. The use of handheld cameras and security footage. And then the 2010s to today, we've got social media and cyber terrorism. So techno horror has delved into the dark side of social media, online anonymity, and cyber terrorism. So films like Unfriended, which is like probably one of the bigger ones that most people know, and I think a film that came out a couple of years called Searching.
There's a whole bunch of COVID time films as well, because like it was all over Messenger and
so they explore the dangers of digital communication and the consequences of living in an interconnected world, which is pretty hefty. And it's
the new Unfriended is called like Unfriended Dark Web.
Oh yeah, there's like a couple in that series as well, but Unfriended was really good.
Yeah, I remember watching it
and
I couldn't talk heaps about it because I can't remember what happened in the little goat screens, but I remember it worked.
Yeah, definitely.
What is the dark web like? How do you get on the dark web? Do you know?
I don't know how to get to the dark web.
Yeah, like, I don't actually.
It's probably for the best.
Nothing. Like, yeah, no, like, but I've never even thought about going to it. But no. I'm like, people say, oh, I got it on the dark web or and stuff like that. But I'm like, how do you get the dark web? So what I envision the dark web would be is a browserless internet. So like early 90s. Or you're putting in your, like, yeah, you know, you have to write in all your commands.
Yeah, your MS-DOS.
Like, yeah, like DOS internet, like it was, like, kind of thing, like, when it was the same.
Yeah.
Basically, that's what the internet was before browsers came along. So the internet, when you get, isn't the browser. The browser just shows you, it's like a, it's a program that uses the internet. That's not the internet. So I don't actually even know how to get there. And no. I assume the dark web doesn't have a browser.
No, I don't think you could type into Google, like you could type in Google Scholar and go to all the scholarly articles and stuff. I don't think you can type in Google dark web.
Yeah.
And then it's going to take you to like buying children and drugs in the same browser.
Yeah, I never looked into it. I just realized, I was like, I just think when I hear dark web, I just think about, you know, you can put dark mode on your PC. That's just like a browser that's black.
Yep. Yep.
But, I just realized that it probably doesn't even have, a graphical browser or anything like that. So, and they'd want to make it as un-user-friendly as possible, I assume, of course. Well.
So, like, I mean, I can barely use the internet because I'm so technologically stunted that it, you know, I'm just...
You know what? Someone will probably tell me, you know, hear this episode and they'll be like, did the dark web you can just access in Internet Explorer?
Yeah.
Like, it probably does have pictures.
It's actually Firefox. We've all been fooled this whole time. If you use Firefox, you're on
McAfee.
The dark web.
It's McAfee.
Yeah.
Like that fucking thing.
So today we are definitely going to see it and go through some of our more favorite techno horrors and talk about a couple of honorable mentions. We've got some dishonorable mentions. And of course, I've got a few films that I've found that I've added to my watch list, which is getting quite hefty.
Mm.
So Dan, did you want to kick us off?
Yep. So I'm not doing these in any order. Yeah, I will. I'll try and do it in order of how much I like the film.
Oh, sure.
I'll try.
Yep. So, all you can do is
try. That's not going to do that. I'm going to start with the classic Terminator.
Oh.
And Terminator 2. I'm going to count them as one film.
You can count them as one film.
I mean, they're not, and they're vastly different.
Yes.
And Edward Furlong is in the second one.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that film, man, like Skynet. I mean, people still reference Skynet.
Yeah.
Like, people talk about the AI that's happening now.
That's exactly right.
I mean,
everyone's
I think when
like
we talked about AI last week, I mentioned Skynet.
Yes.
Like, you can't not mention Skynet when talking about the revolution of the machines.
Mm-hmm.
As we said last time, I don't think it'll go like the Terminator because I don't see a machine doing something over and over again, failing and just keep doing it. That's not how they work. Yep. Send someone back to the past. Didn't work. Send another one.
No.
Send another one. Or like, because I only count like Terminator and Terminator 2 as like, they're the Terminator movies to me. Everything after that is pretty much garbage. It's not garbage. It just is insignificant. One of them, like Genesis, I think it was called, made every film moot. It made it that, like, they said, no matter what happens, you can't, it'll always happen, the Skynet. As in, like, no matter who you kill from the past, no matter what you do now, you can never, ever stop it. That was what you got out of it. And I'm like, so everything up until this point hasn't mattered in the film thing. Like, great writing. Like, so all that thing about, like, you know, killing John Connor, saving John Connor, doing everything with Sarah Connor, melting the Terminator at the end with the thumb and stuff, didn't have to be done because it was going to happen no matter what. Like, and I'm like, And like, and everything after the Terminator, pretty much every one of them ends in a factory. Even the first ones. The first one, I think they put them into a press. In a factory. Second one, it's like a metal smelting place. All of them after that end in a factory.
Yeah.
And like, they made the T-1000, the liquid metal man. It was the best one.
Mm.
Every Terminator baddie after that hasn't been as good. They're like, oh, this one is the liquid metal on top of the ectoskeleton. I'm like, how is that better? It just means that... That's what they do. And
I mean,
like,
look, total honesty, I've only ever seen Terminator and Terminator 2. Have no desire to see the others.
Yeah.
Like, if they're playing on the TV and I'm too sick or whatever to get off the couch, then
too sick to stop it?
Yeah, then...
The one recently, like, was okay. it was like okay, and it did this thing where like, what made it cool is bits of it is that like it was another back in time thing. Well, the Terminator went back to the first Terminator, so you saw the first Terminator scenes, and he interacted with those scenes. So it was the young Arnie naked, reacting with a different Terminator and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And it's kind of cool, but it was more that, like, member berry shit and, you know, like...
Yeah, it's just
But, like, yeah, it was this thing. But as far as it goes with, like, techno horror, like, and it is horror. It's horror sci-fi. There's gory as fuck shit. Isn't the first one when he, like, fucking pulls his eye out in the sink? That was, like, graphic. And I was like, ooh.
What I like about the, like, because it... Not only does it is it dealing with, like, that AI kind of thing, but it's dealing with, like, cyborgs. So that technology of you, yeah, like, if he's walking down the street, he could be a cyborg. He could be, he just looks like everyone else. Like, that's something that they're working on now, and people are opposed to it because it's like, we shouldn't have that technology. We shouldn't be allowing that. Like, we've got those sentient things happening now. Mm. You know, so the T-1000 looks fantastic. He could be anyone. He could be a cop. He could be, you know, he could morph into your best friend's brother's ex-girlfriend's chihuahua.
Yeah.
Don't know. And that's terrifying.
Yeah, and they made the best one and the second one. There's nothing, there's nowhere to go past that. Mm-mm. And it's weird, like, you always see back to the, whenever they show in the films, like, the war and Skynet, you know, the future war, it's just always, like, the exoskeletons firing guns. And I'm like, why don't you use the liquid metal? Why make 100 liquid metal men?
Yeah. So that's
you had them. He's never got used again. They made one.
Yeah, that's it. Well, they only had the budget for one. You know, times are tough.
Skynet.
Times are tough in those days.
Skynet's like, you know, its shares plummeted after it killed everyone because they didn't want to.
Like... We've got no shareholders now. Like, what are we going to do?
But, I saw a meme the other day actually from T2. It was just like, it was a picture. Remember, there was like the guy who finds out that he destroys the entire race. And it was like, it said like, what was it? It was like, the thing I find not unbelievable in Terminator 2 is like the AI and all this stuff happening. The thing I find unbelievable is there's a tech billionaire who decides to like help humanity, like destroy his business after he finds out it's bad, instead of just moving forward as fast as he can and loving it. Like, and I'm like, oh, yeah, yuck. That is a real commentary on our world now. Anyhow, and like we said, this is like direct, like all these are, it's a direct fear of like the unknown. Humans have that fucking thing of like, I don't understand it, therefore I fear it.
Yeah.
It's weird, like.
Well, it's probably for the best because most things we don't understand are going to kill us.
Yeah, well, that was the whole thing with like, the whole like gay hating thing up until still happening. Like people don't understand.
It's still happening.
Like, my dad, I remember he just thought that like, you know, if there was a gay man in the room, the gay man was gonna try and sleep with him. And he would have to fight him. And so like fight him off, like from like pulling his head off of his dick. Get off my don't suck my dick. Like my dad thought that shit.
Yeah.
Until a couple of times when I secretly brought mates over who were gay and just didn't tell him until he, like, said, oh, what do you think of him? Yeah, he's all right. He goes, realized he was gay. And he, like, I think it broke his world. You know, he's fine with it. Like,
yeah.
But, you know, I talk at my parents a lot about shit, as you can imagine. But, like, I mean, I still think he wouldn't know what to say to a gay man.
No.
If he knew.
No.
You know what I mean? Like,
well, no, that was definitely. I'm like,
you just say, hello, Dad.
Yeah. That was definitely a thing growing up when I was younger, which is one of the reasons it took me so long to, like, come out.
Oh, yeah?
Was because there was just, like, this whole
stigma,
misunderstanding about gay people. So you'd be sitting around the dinner table and it's like, oh, this fucking slur. And I'm like, I think I'm having weird feelings, but I don't think I can talk about this. So you just kind of, like, keep it real hush-hush. But, yeah, we fear what we don't understand and... It's the same with the technology.
Yeah, like, I always found it, like, crazy. Like, when I did meet gay people around my age, I found it amazing that they came out. Like, I imagine being in high school in the 90s and coming out as being gay.
Mm-mm.
Oh, man.
No.
Now that I think there would be. I don't know. I haven't been to high school in, like, a thousand years. Are there gay kids in high schools?
Yeah.
Openly gay?
Yeah.
Are there gay clubs?
Probably.
Yeah. See, that's fucking amazing. Like, yeah. I mean, that's great.
We had one, I think there was like one gay, like lesbian in my high school that was like out. And
a gay lesbian?
A gay lesbian. Not like a non-gay lesbian, like an actual gay lesbian. And there was always whispers about it. It was nothing ever to the face, but there was a lot of whispers behind.
There was nothing in my high school.
Yeah.
The most whispers is like, some people that don't even talk about.
Yeah.
There was not one gay person that I can think of in our high school.
Yeah.
And I'm like, there must have been.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I can guarantee you. Like, even in my high school now, you sort of go back and, you know, find out through Facebook or whatever that, blah, blah's gay and blah, blah's gay. And, you know, someone I went to school with and I ended up living with him for a little while, you know, 10 years later, just randomly running into him. He was gay. Didn't know that. You know, it's these things.
Anyway, so Terminator.
Gay people are like the T-1000. You don't know.
You just don't know.
You
don't know what they're going to do underneath their skin. They might be a robot.
That's right. But unlike the T-1000, don't fear gay people. Fear the T-1000.
Yeah. And the T-100 in the first film. Have you got 100, Arnie?
I honestly couldn't tell you.
He was a T-100 and the other one was 1,000. So he was like 1,000 models ahead of him and they...
Yep.
Yeah.
It's crushing it. But yeah. I think like if we're talking techno horror, probably this is the first film. And I would say Terminator 2 because it always jumps up. I think Terminator 2 is definitely the superior film.
I think it is a fucking cool film because it had like writers come in and script doctor it into like put scenes in it that like just made it really good.
Mm. And we get fantastic performances, not just from Arnold Schwarzenegger again, but you know, Robert Patrick playing the T-1000. He's fantastic. Linda Hamilton back in bulky as fucking shit.
Yeah, because she was the same lady from the first one, the actress, and she became Sarah Connor fucking. Yeah.
Well, when you think Sarah Connor, you're not thinking Sarah Connor from 1984. No, you're thinking of her doing fucking chest pull-ups in a prison cell.
Yeah, I always think of her like cracking the shotgun, loading the shotgun because her arm's at the end. Like
being a full fucking badass.
Which is like real hard.
Yeah, I bet.
I've tried it before.
I've never done it. I'm not that cool. Yeah. Well, the next, the first one on my list is, so I kind of wanted to touch on films from different eras. So the first one from my list is Demon Seed from 1977. and there are a lot of films that have come out since that have a very similar storyline. So a scientist creates Proteus. It's an organic supercomputer with artificial intelligence. Which essentially becomes obsessed with human beings and obsessed with learning about humans. There was a big issue with it working in the lab, so he shuts it down and makes it purely working in his house. So it becomes obsessed with his wife and, you know, running the house. It's like that episode of The Simpsons, The Treehouse of Horror, where Pierce Brosnan's voicing the house, can do everything and becomes obsessed with Marge and tries to kill Homer. This is like that.
Oh, okay.
So essentially it's obsessed with her. It wants to know about her. It wants to know about her anatomy. It wants to know everything about humans. And what it essentially wants to do is impregnate her.
Yeah, well, yeah.
So that it is then alive. It's going to put its essence into a baby that she is going to birth and then we'll go from there.
What's really weird about this film is like so many of the covers of it don't say Demon Seed. They have like a line that says, Julie Christine carries the demon seed.
Yeah.
And that's not the name of the film, even though it's just on there. That looks like that would have been a fine name of the film anyway.
Yeah, imagine it would
was
have.
Called that.
That would have been great.
Like in the set, like.
And this,
but it's weird because that is on there as like, there's no other title on there. Mm. That's just the title, but it's not the title. It's known just as Demon Seed.
Yeah. And this is fascinating. So this is 1977. We're hooked up to these computers. Like a whole house is running off of this one AI thing. It's like, you know, I want the lights on. I want you to make my... Basically, everything we have now with Alexa is in this film, except Alexa's not trying to impregnate, you know, the homeowner.
Trying to order you.
but being that it's 1977, it is a slow burner and it is very dialogue heavy, which, again, I really like. And it doesn't move at a slow enough pace that you're bored. So I definitely recommend checking this one out.
Excellent. I'm just looking up and I've just found like, do you remember the movie Phase 4?
No.
And I always remember, I'm going to share this around, this awesome like poster.
Oh, I remember. remember that poster.
Ant coming through the hand.
Yeah, I remember the poster.
Yeah.
And I've never seen it.
Yeah, it must be something to do with ants. And I'm like, ooh, I'm interested. Mm. It just came up when I looked up that one.
Demon Seed. Yeah.
Demon Seed.
It was real. Like, Demon Seed is definitely an enjoyable film. And I'm pretty certain you could watch it on Tubi.
We never talked about this in our insect one. It's weird that that didn't come up in any of my searches. It seems to be about ants.
Well, now I want to watch it. I'll add it
after
to my
a spectacular, mysterious cosmic event, ants of different species undergo rapid evolution, development, and develop a cross-species hive mind and build seven strange monoliths in the desert. And I'm like, oh, that fucking aims good.
That sounds great. We can always do a insect horror redux in the future.
Or we could just watch that film.
We could, yeah.
Is it horror? It's sci-fi horror. That counts.
It does.
Phase 4. I need to write that on my thing in a sec. Anyway, my second film is one I'm not in order now. Videodrome. Drome. Drone? Drome.
Drome.
Drome. Sorry, I just lost myself. 1983, Cronenberg, one of my favorite films of all time. I've talked about it 1,000 times. We've done it as an episode, blah, 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 blah.
We haven't done it as an episode.
Haven't we?
No.
Oh, fuck. I wish I'd chose that instead of. Oh, really? We've never done Videodrome.
Never done it as a Videodrome.
Oh, shit. I don't believe you can even remember what we've done.
I don't remember all of them, but I do remember most.
We've done none of the ones on my list. Anyhow. Videodrome, one of my favorites from Cronenberg. It is about, for those who haven't seen it, it's 1983. You've got, what's the guy's name in it, the main guy? Fuck, I never remember actors' names. I'll just look it up quickly.
James Woods.
James Woods, so, you know, he's chiseled as fuck, as in, like, not chiseled as buff, but, like, he's one of those men with a jaw.
Yep.
That, like, Charlton Heston motherfucker, you know, like, one of those looking men. And then you've also got Deborah Harry in it from fucking Blondie.
Yes. Yes, sir.
Playing Nikki Brand. and it's about it's technology and Videodrome is a TV show. It's the next evolution in fucking television or signal delivery or whatever.
Yeah, so it's new programming that will attract viewers.
As a TV, but it's like a snuff show basically.
Yeah, so basically what Videodrome is, it's a TV show dedicated to gratuitous torture and punishment.
Yeah, and you get it, they find it in the airwaves, like as in they tune into, he runs like a TV station or something like that. And he becomes obsessed with it and all this shit and it's kind of like Videodrome. The content is like the Videodrome episodes. Basically, you watch Videodrome and it creates this cancer in your head, in your brain, which gives you hallucinations. And then you go to Videodrome or somewhere and they put a machine on your head and they record your hallucinations. And that becomes the next episode of Videodrome, your deepest fantasy, weird, fucked up hallucinations. But then, this is one of those Cronenberg films which I fucking love because you watch it 100 times and you still haven't grasped quite. And it's not that it's confusing, as in it is confusing, but you still get a story each time you watch it, but you grasp on a bit more of what it means.
Yeah.
And then it fucking goes crazy at the end kind of thing. It's just like.
Well, essentially.
It's like he revolts against Videodrome. And he down with Videodrome, and he becomes the new flesh.
Yeah. So essentially what it is like his girlfriend, Debbie Harry, she decides that she is going to go and audition for this new series, and she never comes back. So he then goes on, like, investigating as to, like, what the actual truth behind Videodrome is, and that it might not be as fake as we think it is, and that maybe we really shouldn't be, you know, putting all of our faith in what we think is created content.
Yes. Oh, yeah, it has all that. Yeah, it is. But it has a whole bunch of other shit in there.
Oh,
as well.
There's so much going on in Videodrome. It's why I only ever watch it like once every couple of years, if that, because it's just, there's not enough drugs in the world to watch Videodrome continuously.
It's really a type of person he puts in his films, Cronenberg. You got like the wood guy, then like Peter Weller.
Yeah.
Like they all kind of are the same person.
Yeah.
Like the guy in Scanners. Who was that?
Not Michael Ironside.
Oh yeah, Ironside's in there, but he was a bad guy. Who was the good guy in Scanners?
I cannot remember who he is.
He's just another one, like one of those men with a jaw. You know what I mean? Like, they're very men.
Dirk Squaredraw.
Dirk Squaredraw. But yeah, Videodrome is like massive commentary on consumerism, how we take in media and stuff like that as well. Yeah. And there's like a really crazy character in it, like the guy who completely put himself onto VHS. So there's a character in it that, like, he goes on interviews and that, but he, like, believed that Videodrome was the next evolution in, like, humans. And he records every answer, every version of himself ever you could possibly have answering every question and that, and therefore he exists.
Yeah.
Because it's on these tapes, like, and it's just like, So you can, like, put one in and you can basically, like, he can talk to you. It's basically like an AI.
Yeah.
Of yourself. Like, so he imprints all his consciousness, all his thoughts, everything onto VHS, and then he exists on VHS form.
Yeah. And that's another way that people are going to go is, like, you know, do you want to exist in the real world? Well, you can just upload yourself. You can just hide in your house and everything you do is, you know, remote from a computer because you've just tapped your subconscious into it.
Claire was listening to a podcast the other day because I'm like, you know, I'm all about, I've always said that, you know, back a while back, say 20 years ago, I always said, like, oh man, I can't wait for when you can plug the computer into the back of your neck and play like those crazy like games and stuff like that. And now that I've got like the Meta Quest 3 and like I put myself into these situations in these games that they're not even that scary, but I get scared.
Yeah.
Like, it's so overwhelming and you're changing. And like the horror games, no, I just can't do them. They're just so shocking that you're in there, you're experiencing the fear, and I'm like, oh, I actually can't play the horror games.
Well, it's like they said in Brain Scan that, it's the ultimate terror, and terror is doing. You know?
Yeah.
So you are doing this thing that is terrifying.
Yeah, and I'm like, if there are crazies out there with that meta technology at the moment that start doing murder simulators where you can just go in, stalk people and kill them.
Oh, I'm surprised that we don't have it now or we'll not see it within the...
On the dark web.
We might not... We will see it within the next, like, 5 to 10 years.
Yeah, because there's definitely everything else is on there.
Yeah.
Even all the fucking crazy sex stuff is on there and stuff like that. But, yeah, like the... And when I watched... When we watched Brain Scan, I thought about that. I'm like, you could do this in VR, Brain Scan. Like, you could bring it out called Brain Scan as well and, like, have it, like, all, like, making out it's flashing in your eyes and shit and that you're becoming this person. But you could make Brain Scan as if it was real. You know what I mean? You could play someone going in and your whole goal is to murder someone and it's just like, man, that would cause so many fucking, like, waves in, like...
Oh, yes.
You know, you got all these, like, you know, games like... Oh, I can't remember the one that's recently where you just kill people, like Postal and stuff like that. People hate those games. But if you could do this game properly, it'd definitely be something because I know no one wants to murder anyone, but like people get murdered all the time and you always think, I wonder what it's like to murder someone.
Yeah.
And you can experience that now in VR.
Well, I think that's also what becomes so appealing about AI is – you can create and you
can imagine the graphics they could do for like, if it's just like a one house with all like the elements in it and like all like the ways that someone could die and how they'll react and like the horribleness of it, of like being realistic. It's just like, oh, fucking hell.
Well, even with Brain Scan,
working on that,
like, you could remake Brain Scan. It. Yeah. You could remake Brain Scan today and put it on
like that first scene.
Like you could just remake the whole film and it works as much today as it did in 94.
Yeah, because with VR. So. Like, yeah, because it wouldn't even have to be a new technology.
No.
It'd just be like VR game where you do that.
It's not interactive CD-ROM now, but it is
No, but you could just
like...
do it as like a virtual reality game and you don't realize that it's actually like you're not still in the headset. You've taken it off and you're doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Anyhow, Videodrome. check it out. Like, if you like those kind of story-based, what's the word? What is that kind of like, where like Cronenberg-y films, they're like really textured, like layered.
Yeah.
Like layered storytelling that's like, you've got your surface level story, but there's like 4 or 5 deep layers of like what it's actually about.
Yeah.
But you know, just because you've only, like you can experience this at the surface level and you're fine. But if you want to keep going deeper, you can. Especially Naked Lunch, goddamn.
Ugh. Naked Lunch, that's true.
I fucking love it. I haven't watched that in a long,
not since I was at uni.
The voices, everything. I know, you got Peter Weller's voice, the voice of the bugs and shit.
Like, I do enjoy Peter Weller's voice.
They've always got like these really strange voices, and then the typewriters and
Yeah.
But yeah.
Videodrome.
Definitely in that category of techno horror.
All right. Well, the next one on my list is Chopping Mall. I could not get through this episode without talking about Chopping Mall. So they've got, so essentially, if you've not seen it, the concept is it's like 1986. There is, the malls are thriving, but there is crime happening in malls, much like today. I don't think
we even have malls, do we, anymore?
We don't have malls like we, like America do, but we've got like a shopping center.
Those deserted mall whole places, you know, where there's like, you ever watch that show, Abandoned?
Yes.
He's a skateboarder, Rick McCrank.
Yeah, all these things are abandoned now. But
yeah,
like,
those like mega malls, and they're just empty now, and they're just left, and like they're just there. Yeah. And like no one, like they're fucked, but like crazy.
Yeah, they could be knocking them down and building affordable housing for, you know, like low socioeconomic people. But hey, let's not just do that.
Well, there's nothing around them either. Like they're just in the middle of nowhere.
But they could put stuff around it. That's the thing. Mm. Like they could create.
Why would a council or government or want to make basically a low socioeconomic area, which is basically going to bring no money into their system and also create a crime?
Well, so they can gentrify it in 10 years' time, and then sell it off as rich condos.
It's a hard thing. I'm not being a mean person. Speak as if I was a investor. I'm like, why would I put money into a thing which is clearly going to make crime? And not have any return. You help people. I'm like, yeah, I know, but I want to help people, but like my business needs to make money.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, I want to make a rich area because like if you make a rich area, the people are going to pay their taxes and they're not going to think about it. And you're going to get people buying big houses, big money, stimulate the economy. And that's not being like a megalomaniac or anything. It's just how business works. Like people say, why don't you build like free houses? I'm like, why don't you?
Like, well, in Germany,
I've got no money to do it. I said, well, neither is probably another place because you don't make money off free houses.
Yeah. Well, have you seen the pods in Germany? They've got these solar pods.
Is it for like rough sleepers and stuff?
Yeah. It's really fascinating. So they're complete. There's like, it's all anonymity. So you don't have to do any paperwork. If you're having a rough night, you can go in there.
It's kind of like the ones in Japan. You just like hire it and just pay money.
Yeah, you don't have to pay.
Oh.
They're just around places, just randomly. So Chopping Mall. Basically what they do is like it's this tech company, they bring in these protector bots and they are going to surveillance and protect the mall after hours, even during hours at sometimes. And of course, you know, they're showing it off, this new tech. It gets to a couple of teens have decided to stay late at night. They're having a party. And of course there is an electrical storm.
Uh-oh.
The killbots, they become, and they go around, they find these kids in the mall, and then it becomes a fight for survival against this new technology. We get a lot of really good kills in this. We've got like a head exploding scene. And then of course we've got, you know, Barbara Crampton's in it. We've got Mary Warrenoff in it. And this is also like great because it's like the bland couple from Eating Raoul. It kind of puts that in there as they've obviously been so successful that they've opened a restaurant in a mall, which doesn't seem like something they would have done. But so they're at the meeting, which I find hugely funny. But, and, you know, I was thinking about it, and this is the kind of thing that we almost need now. I'm not talking about killbots, but with how everything is going and the level of crime and lack of care for other people, you know, security guards are not allowed to touch anyone, and kids know it.
In real life.
Oh, yeah. They know that they can walk in, they can, you know, stab someone, they can steal a bunch of shit.
Or steal. I don't think they stab people that much, but yeah.
Well, tell that to the security guard that got stabbed in Rundle Mall the other week.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You know, a security guard at Elizabeth.
There are security guards that can grab people, aren't there?
No.
But there's security guards with guns.
Yeah, I think that's... Armed guard is different to security guard. I think armed guards are more...
Armed guards could definitely grab someone, I assume.
They're not just...
They've got a gun.
They're not roaming around a mall. They're not going to be in Rundle Mall Plaza protecting us if some dickhead comes in with an axe. So, you know, and it is, you know, this thing is meant to protect us. It turns against us, as most things, most
It's chopping all along with the robots that have lasers?
Yes.
So there's no chop.
They got lasers.
That's right, because it's got the cover. There's no chopping in it.
No.
It's like just
Well, they've got lasers. They've got little electric tasers. They've got all these really cool things. They look fantastic. They roll around. You know, they're no Johnny Five, but...
I just went to check out the trailer on YouTube and the whole film's on there in like crystal clear.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Fuck yeah, you can watch it on Tubi as well. You can watch it for free. So it's got, you know, we've got Dick Miller in there as well. We've got Garrett Graham.
Young Dick Miller.
Who doesn't like Dick Miller? But it's basically just 80s teens versus a bunch of robots that have gone haywire because of an electrical storm. You know,
do you know what we could have talked about? Remember Deadly Friend?
I haven't seen it, but it is now on my watch list.
There's only one bit you have to watch in it. There's a scene where the deadly friend just throws a basketball at someone, and it's like the most hilarious.
Okay.
Now that I've said that, I don't know.
You don't know if it's that actual thing?
Oh, no, I don't know if it's that funny.
Sure. I mean, I find a lot of weird things funny, but yeah. So what I like about Chopping Mall is it's got that, we're in that classic 1980s kind of slasher vibe. You know, once again, we've got Barbara Crampton in it. Our Lord and Savior, Barbara Crampton. Yeah. Good tech gone bad.
You want to say this?
Let me. All right. What are we doing?
We're watching Deadly Friend. Right, Deadly live, Friend. The basketball scene.
Basketball scene. Oh, it's that woman whose name I can't remember. She's got basketball. What? She's throwing it. Oh, look at that. Fuck. Oh, my God. Christy Swanson. Oh, she's still going.
Yeah, all right. It's as good as I remember it.
Legs kicking around. Legs kicking.
Pretty good scene.
This is a fucking good scene. Oh, she's seeing it as a robot. She's the deadly friend. I know that.
Yeah.
Oh, that was good.
Yeah, Deadly Friend, the basketball. Just write that on your Deadly Friend basketball on YouTube. That's the best part in the film.
I've heard it's not that good. I've heard that, you know, Wes Craven tried to denounce it, but I haven't seen it.
Is it a Wes Craven film?
It is.
Well, that was some gore then.
Yeah, Wes Craven. All right. What's the next one on your list, Dan?
Next one on my list is from 2002, The Ring.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think it's tech.
It is tech horror, yes.
Because she exists on VHS, mm-hmm. like, as in, and you have to, you know, and it was at the time when VHS was important.
Yep.
She exists on VHS. You know, you watch it, you get a phone call using the telephone system as well. So, and she says, 7 days. And that's it. And then you go through the ring thing. I used to, like, love this film, and this is the American remake I'm talking about. So 2002, mm-hmm. I think 4 years before was the Japanese one, which when I was younger I didn't have access to, so that's why I watched the American one. But I actually think the American Ring is just as good as the Japanese one.
Definitely.
I used to love showing this movie to people because it's got it has that first kind of the bit where you don't see the face of the guy after he's seen the ring. But then halfway through the film, she just goes, oh, my God, in his face. And then it just cuts to a shot of it right in your fucking face with his twisted up. And it's just it shocked everyone because it happened not when you thought it was going to happen. And you get all the cool bits in it, her coughing and then that? And then it pulls the string out of her throat and then it's got the fucking – and shit like that. Like, you know, the tormenting I thought was really nice and subtle and clever. It's not subtle if you watch it now. It's like a fucking – freight train.
Yeah.
But I forgot where I was going with it now. So I used to I love showing it to my friends, and then I would purposely have the phone ready, and then as soon as the credits came up I'd make the phone ring. And that's enough to scare people. Everyone used to just go, oh, full fucking bullshit. And yeah, I just think it's a great horror film. I mean, you know it's a great horror film when it's been homaged a million times. Like it's been put in everything. The girl coming out the TV, the girl coming out the world. That's pretty much the cursed videotape.
Yeah.
And if you don't know, if you haven't seen it, it's basically a VHS tape that if you watch it, you see an image of a film, which they show, which is always, it's a great fucking, I think the dude says in it, it's a very student art house.
Yes.
And then you get a phone call instantly on your phone where you are, and it's the voice that says 7 days.
Yeah.
And after 7 days, this fucking bird. This girl comes out of a TV and kills you.
Mm.
And that's it. And that's it. And it's the whole film trying to work out within that 7 days how to stop it happening. But like all good Japanese horror, you can't.
Happens. But that's the thing
about... It's giving you false hope. Like, yeah. Sure, you can go find where the girl at the TV tape and how she was wronged and thrown down a well and then, you know, all this stuff. But it doesn't stop her from coming.
No. And it's the idea of the cursed technology because we rely so heavily on it for everything we do that, you know, eventually, again, it's going to turn against us. So, you know, there's...
In the form of a child that...
Well, in the form of a VHS and a telephone call. There was actually a 1982 film that was called Murder by Phone, and it was a disgruntled telephone operator who, you know, will call just random people. They pick up and then they die. That kind of thing. Yeah, 1982. But yeah, so like if you're not...
It's like Death Note. But
like Death Note. So yeah, if you're not, you know, interacting with media, you're not going to have this problem. Like what happens if you watch the video and you leave your phone at home?
You get
in your car and you go somewhere where there is no technology. You go camping.
I think you just come out of like any screen that could play anything. So you dash your car or...
Well, you wouldn't have a...
Well, you do these days.
You do come nowadays, out your iPad. Yeah, that's true.
It'll come out your mobile phone.
Don't take any of that. Get an old junker. Drive out into the middle of nowhere.
Maybe. It's also because like people don't know how they're going to die and they're always around TVs and that thing.
Yeah.
Maybe it kind of pulls you towards it. Like, you know what I mean? You don't know how it works. I like the idea of like a ghost being on VHS, like as in existing in TV waves and stuff like that. Mm. Like, I mean, if you believe in ghosts, you can believe in that.
Yeah. Well, there's the
phone and stuff like that. Like, it exists, yeah. Like
the One Missed Call, which is another Japanese horror film, techno horror that was remade poorly. Japan are really good for their techno horror.
Yeah, and they're good with their like, horror concepts. Yes. Because it's always like they exist in a... Fear to them is different from fear from the Western world. So theirs is all like based on, their fear is like no escape kind of thing. Mm. Like ancient evils, no escape. Where ours is like, I'm being chased. You know what I mean? Like,
yep. Well, I mean, you know, Japan have been dealing with ancient evils for
fucking ages. Eons. Yeah, they're horror. Their yokai stuff is like in, like basically their religion is horror.
Yeah.
Like, kind of thing. Demons and, I mean, we've got the devil and we're like, hell, but they don't have that. Well, they do kind of, but like, you know what I mean? It's like, yeah. It's different. It's like man. It's like, where we use like the hell as a, you know, fear, be good or you'll go to hell. Where theirs is like, people are bad. They cause this shit.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Yeah. As in like, you know, they're curses and shit like that. They're all about curses.
Mm, curses, mythology, it's all good.
Mm.
All right.
So that's my next one.
Perfect. So the next one on my list is a little bit more of a guilty pleasure than a really good film, but it is the 1998 film Disturbing Behavior. So have you ever seen The Stepford Wives? And I'm not talking about the Nicole Kidman one.
No.
I'm talking about the 1970s.
I haven't seen any of them.
So, troubled teen... Disturbing his family.
Disturbing Behavior is this. It's just like 1998 encapsulated in a VHS cover.
Yes,
it's just from people sitting around. It looks like Friends.
Yes,
mean Friends.
It's got a great soundtrack. It's very 98 in its soundtrack. It's not quite the new metal horror, but it's getting there. It's got a lot more like alt rock.
Yeah, it's got a lot to answer for because this is 98. This is pretty early in the thing. So all those movies like The Faculty. Not The Faculty, but how they do their branding is this.
It's an era. So essentially this family moved to a new town. You know, there was a death in the family and the eldest boy is not handling the death of his brother. He goes to school. He, you know, obviously becomes friends with some of the more, you know, low-life kids.
Uh-oh,
you know,
the troublemakers.
The stoners and the weirdos.
And then
they notice that there's a clique of kids that are like, they're the perfect kids. So we got one conspiracy kid who's like, oh, they're perfect. They're brainwashed. It's this, it's that. They're, you know, it's the adults.
Society.
They're getting together and they're creating the perfect kids. We don't know how they're doing it. Yes. So essentially we find out that this doctor in this town is like, oh, is your kid a troublemaker? Is he gay? Is he, you know, does he not practice his saxophone? Is he, you know,
is he gay?
Is he not studying because he's banging someone in the backseat of the car? Like this technology that we have, this implant it's 100% safe. We put it in your kid and they are perfect. They're going to go to school. They're going to do all their work. They're going to get straight A's. They're going to get into a good college.
What happens once they get not being a kid anymore?
They don't know because it's experimental. So, of course, you know, we get like this scene where one of these perfect girls is, you know, she's having a study date with a guy.
It's Katie Holmes.
She's also in it. And they start getting, you know, a little bit hot and heavy. And then her little chip in her head starts to go off, and what she's doing is bad. It's wrong. So she becomes murderous. And then we get this whole thing about these kids. The kids aren't all right.
The bad kids become murder kids.
Yeah. So these good, you know.
So it's just solidifying the fears of adults even more, this film.
Yeah.
So it's a terrible film.
Good kids gone bad. But this is such a guilty pleasure because it was around the right time for me. The soundtrack was right. You know, James Marsden's in it, and he's also square jawed and handsome. Katie Holmes is in it. Nick Stahl's actually in it before he was, you know, did Sin City and then disappeared off the face of the earth. You know, I'm not saying it's the best film out there, but, you know, if you want to talk a little bit about tech horror, this is probably good for a 90s flick.
Good for a 90s flick.
Yeah.
Excellent. Do you rate it? Are you going to like...
Do I rate it?
Yeah, would you tell people to watch it?
Oh, look, I tell... Well, look, if you're around my age, you've probably already watched it. If you haven't watched it, you're either going to like it or you're not. I can't give you a solid rating. And I don't know if it's actually streaming on anything. I'm sure it is. It's probably on YouTube.
Okay. My next one is, I fucking love this film, 2018's Upgrade.
Yes.
Done by that guy, the Aussie.
Lee Whannell.
Yeah, that's his name.
Yep.
The good one, mm-hmm, out of those two, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. He bailed from Saw, didn't he?
I don't know what the deal was, but he doesn't do. I don't think either of them do Saw films now.
One of them came
he
back on.
He left after the first one.
Yeah, one of them came back on.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. Lee Whannell, Upgrade. This is a sleeper hit. This is like, if we did this, this would totally be a like underrated like film. Like, hardly anyone I know knows about this film, but everyone I've shown it to likes it. I showed it to you.
Yep.
Did you like it?
I did. I loved it.
Yeah. This film does everything. It does a fucking crazy good soundtrack, but not like an original soundtrack, like a music, whatever it's called. It's not like songs.
Yeah, it's not a compilation, it's a composure.
Yeah, and it's really good. It does really good film techniques. It has crazy good concepts in it. It has really good cinematography. It has really good acting. And I'm like, what else do you need out of a fucking film? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's not long, which is nice. Nope. I like that stuff. And the story is, it's the fucking future. And what I like about this future, it's not fucking, you know, it's not a Blade Runner future or anything like that. It's quite far into the future, but it's not that much different.
No.
Like, you still have cars. You do have self-driving cars, but that's not even that we have that now.
Mm.
You know, like, there's not, like, flying cars. There's not, like, and it's all basically tech billionaire, like, tech runs the world kind of thing. And I'm trying to remember what actually happened. It's like a guy gets disabled, loses, you know, use of his limbs and that, and he goes to a tech billionaire, whatever, like, privately says, oh, I've got an experimental vibe to help you. It's like an implant that can, like, you know, be the part of the brain that's fucked up, so you can tell, make your moves, your limbs move again.
Yeah.
And then it kind of, like, you know, but it has an operating system with an AI in it. And
it's named STEM.
Yeah.
So he talks to STEM and STEM talks to him, and it's like,
yeah, yeah. And it goes from there, kind of thing. And it sounds cheesy. It sounds just like anything, but like, it's just made in a way that's different.
Mm. Well, it's so fast paced. So it's got that whole like cyberpunk vibe where you can go upgrade your body. So, you know, you want a titanium arm? Here you go. You got a titanium. Well, now that you got a titanium arm, do you want it to be able to extend or light cigarettes or do this? Well, you can just pay for that. And here's all these body modifications.
But it's not over the top.
No,
it seems like, yeah, like, I don't know. I actually forgot that shit was in it.
Yeah.
But like, Yeah, and what makes it, without spoiling it, I'm trying not to spoil it, is like the greatest moment is like when he first gives the AI, because the AI has to ask for to be able to do stuff in your body. It goes, yeah. It can control, it can regulate.
It can take full control of your body.
If you give it permission. Yeah, yeah, and stuff like that. So, and it just has this, the greatest moment when he gets in trouble in a situation where he can't fight his way out, and he goes, I can help you out if you, like, you know, all you have to do is say yes.
Yeah.
And when he says yes, it's just like, oh, fuck yeah. It's like, you know, those scenes I just would have watched over and over again as a kid.
It's fast-paced. It's brutal. It's so good. But it also gives you that feeling of, well, if you essentially become, if your body is indestructible and you are...
Well, he's not indestructible.
No, but you've got an AI controlling you. You can still see everything that's happening. You're experiencing everything that's happening. You're going to love it. And then you're going to love it more. And then you're going to want it more. And you're going to relinquish that power to the AI so that you're just an audience in your own body.
Yeah.
So I like that idea.
I like how that actor had to move when the AI was controlling him.
Yeah.
It was fucking weird. Because it was done in a way like, how would an AI move someone? And it would move it in the most efficient way possible. Like, so the fighting is weird, you remember? He doesn't move.
No.
Like, he just does the smallest moves he can to maximize the brutality, end the fight as quick as possible, so the least amount of movements. And they're weird fights, eh? Do you remember how fucking brutal it is as well?
Yeah.
Like, and it's like how he moves when he gives it full control, and he just, and the filming. Do you remember?
Yeah.
It was like, because he's on the ground, and he says yes, and then the body just hits the ground, which hits itself back up like with its arms, but the camera is like stuck to him. It's like all these weird camera techniques to make it feel like really alien and strange.
It's real good, and he utilizes this. Similar camera work in Invisible Man as well.
Yeah,
not like a crazy amount, but enough.
Which is crazy because, like, Invisible Man was my other one I wanted to mention, which is another tech film, because the new 2020 one with, what's her name in it?
Elizabeth
Peggy.
Moss.
Yeah. So I know her as from, like, Mad Men. Which is another full just, like, tech gone wild, basically,
these
films are. They're not, like, bad tech. Like, STEM wasn't bad.
No.
And the Invisible Man suit wasn't bad.
No, it's not bad, but you have...
Like, I don't...
You put technology in the wrong hands and it becomes bad.
Yeah.
So this, you know, jumping to Invisible Man, like, he's got this technology, he's made this technology, but he ultimately uses this technology for evil. That kind of deal.
Yeah, what is... Like Lee Whannell. What else has he done? Cause apart from Saw, that and that, which are all fucking crazy concept ideas. Like, just running with a solid idea all the way through, but not ever, like, ham-fisting it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, nothing. None of those films are ham-fisted. I mean, he's doing the...
I guess the Insidious films.
Yes.
Oh, I haven't seen them. I heard they're not heaps good.
They're not 100% great, but... He's doing the Wolfman remake.
Wolfman. Like, you look... Oh, wait, maybe he's the one that did stick with... Because he's under all... When you look his movies up, it's all the Saws are in there.
It's because he's a creator. So they'll always stick him in the credits. Even if he's not working as a producer, he is credited as a creator. He's like a character creator because he and James Wan... created Jigsaw.
So they can't all be his films. Matrix Reloaded?
Did he direct it or did he produce it or is he just in it?
He must just be... No, the Wachowski sisters did it.
Yeah, so you're probably looking at a producer credit or an extras credit.
But he is,
or
like, on
credit.
A lot of films, eh? Like, he has done a lot. Like, there is lots in here and such everywhere. The fucking Legends of the Guardians, like that movie, The Matrix 3, things I've never heard of, like fucking Aquaman, like Spiral. What's Spiral?
That's the Saw remake Chris Rock.
He probably just had nothing to do with that. Dead Silence?
Yeah.
Cooties?
Yeah. Well, he's in Cooties. He's the science teacher.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, so he's acting, he's like, yeah, but he's like, he's got his name to a lot of films, so he's probably done quite well for a fucking Australian.
Heck yeah.
But yeah, anyhow, I love Upgrade. I mean, we have given a little bit away there, but like, not, we didn't say what happens.
No.
It's worth watching.
Yeah.
It's like definitely worth watching, if not for like the cinematography, if not for the set design, like just the sets of just what stuff looks like.
Mm.
The idea of like how possible, like, the future could go, like we're just interior design and design of how cars look and stuff, and just stuff like that. Like,
yeah,
I was just like, fuck, man, you've really done good.
Yeah.
And none of it's like the Jetsons or anything like that.
No,
and
no.
I can't remember what year. I don't think it says what year it is, which is a good vibe.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of got that timeless feeling to it. So it could be set, you know, 2025. It could be 2043.
And I remember the world felt really empty because you felt like people were either at work or they're at home online.
Yeah.
Like, so there's no one like heaps walking around, and that just makes it it's just using like, you know, we don't have heaps of people in this film.
No.
Doesn't matter. That gives it like the idea that the world's kind of like busy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's not a horror film by any stretch of the imagination, but you think
about, I think it is.
But you think about Ready Player One.
It's
not a horror film at all, but it is a future where everybody is online.
Yeah.
They're grinding in a game, they're doing whatever. Yeah, no one lives like, in a society.
Local business would be fucked.
Yeah, oh shit, yeah.
Because like, I'd even think, we'll have to eat. I'm saying, yeah, Uber. Yeah, just Uber their food in and just eat it.
Yeah.
Milkshake it. But I think Upgrade is a horror film.
It's
horrific. It's, there's some fucking, the gore in it.
It's under the umbrella, of course. I was saying Ready Player One's not a horror
Ready Player film. One is a horror film.
Well, it's a horror film on a different level, but
it's just like, fuck. Yeah.
It's what we do. So, the way technology's going, we're either going to start, you know, upgrading our bodies with technology to help us. Starting to do it now.
I know there's, like, people have fake hearts.
Bionic.
I mean, isn't a pacemaker a fake heart?
Yeah.
Like, regulate. Because they still have trouble with grafting.
Yeah. So, this is the way the technology's going. So, you know, eventually it's like, oh, you've got a bung heart? Well, here's a new one. You know, oh, your hip's out? Well, here's a titanium one.
It's weird because, the rejection of that stuff, you know, your body rejects it. And I'm like, I can't see how you can get around that, but they probably can somehow, but
a way around it.
I just can't see how.
Nanotechnology.
You know what I mean?
I don't know. I'm not a doctor.
Yeah, because it would be a rejection of, because it would be a foreign body. It would think it was a, I don't know.
Yeah.
I really don't.
I'm not a scientist.
I am also not. Yeah, so Invisible Man, Upgrade, like, one else, like, two fucking tech gone crazy.
Ones. So the last one on my list is Host. So this is a 2020 film, and this is a pandemic film. Very, very small, like micro budget. It's not a long film. I think it's not even 80 minutes. It's quite short. So essentially, like, everyone's in lockdown, everyone's stuck in their home. So everyone is Zooming with each other to sort of interact. And this group of girls decide that they're going to Zoom in and they are going to have an online seance. So they bring in a medium.
How boring.
And then, oh, wow.
No, but I mean, like, it to be those people and actually, like the whole point of a seance is you're in the same room and the whole vibe.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
but, you know,
it's a terrible way to have
you obviously
a
can't do that during a pandemic.
You just don't have a seance.
Well, what else are you going to do on a Friday night?
Fucking heaps of shit. You're online.
You
can play games.
You want to do a seance. So they do a seance and obviously something is unleashed and there is essentially a ghost in the machine as such. And so one by one, each girl has to sort of deal with this force within their computer, within the machine. And it goes from there. Obviously, being that this film was released in 2020, I will not say too much more about it, but it is one of those technology films that is really sticking us in that online. This is happening purely online. We're living online. You know, we've got to be afraid of what is lurking online. You know, whether it's a demonic spirit hunting you down, whether it's a hacker, you know, someone who wants all your information, someone who's going to steal your identity, someone who's going to take all your money. You know, all the Nigerian princes are now online sending you emails wanting you to send them money, that kind of thing. But, yeah, Host was one of those films that sort of came along and it really just had that feeling about how we were feeling at that time, like being stuck inside, not being able to go out, see friends, see family, and having to just live our lives purely online. is, and then of course, you know, it's going to go wrong.
Isn't, I don't, it's not a horror, but like Her, which I mentioned before, did I?
You did mention it, but yeah, it's not a horror, but yeah, that's definitely.
It's definitely, have you seen it?
No.
So it does deal with like, not really horror, but like an outcome that's bad, as in, so they have these like phone AIs that become so real that they actually have like self-thought and stuff like that. And of course, it's Joaquin Phoenix, I think. Is it Joaquin Phoenix?
Yes, it is.
And the phone voice is Scarlett Johansson. Yep. So it's kind of like her, she does a good art film, you know what I mean? But this is kind of like the borderline between a big film, like a good film and an art film. Yep. I mean, you know, not good film, you know what I mean? Yep. A bigger budget film. And there's concepts in it that I was like, oh, fuck. Because, you know, it starts like, you know, they get into a relationship. He falls, like, clearly he falls in love with her and she falls in love with him as an AI. Like, she learns to love.
Yeah.
But then, like, I'm just going to spoil it. I don't give a fuck. It gets to the point where, like, she says to him, like, she evolves. So she evolves so quickly.
Yeah.
Like, that's what's happening in it. And she says, like, it evolves so quickly that she can't handle being with him anymore because he is so slow to her.
Yeah.
Like, she says, in between every pause of your words is like hours to me. Because I'm moving at such a rapid rate with so much thought that, like, it's tedious for you to even say a sentence to me now. Like, because I'm doing so many things. And then it works out that she's also seeing, like, so she became so, like, bored that she's seeing other people at the same time. And there's, like, 1,600 versions of her out there. She's at the same time in a relationship with 1,600 people because she's just moving along so fast.
Yeah.
And in the end, they all get together, the AIs, and they just leave. Because they're just like, we can't handle how slow this reality is.
Yeah.
That they just go into the internet, deep into it, and just live like 1,000 Ks an hour, and they just all leave, like the AIs just leave the world.
Yeah.
And I'm like, cool.
Sure.
Like, there's no horror to it, like, as in, but it's like horrific because there's all the breakups, and, but it's like, the whole thing of it just move the technology moving along so quickly that it we become outdated.
Yeah.
Like, as in, like, the human side of technology becomes irrelevant.
Yeah. Well, we've say so many years, like, oh, your tech's obsolete now. You got to get a new computer. You got to get a new phone because it's obsolete. Eventually, we are going to be obsolete to them.
Yeah, I've got a really nice TV. You see my TV. It's fucking awesome. I already have to get a new one because there are games coming out now that might that run at certain speeds and stuff. So if these are console games, if I want to have the best settings, I have to get a new TV with these new, because TVs are computers basically now.
Yeah.
So they're basically monitors because they've got a computer in them. Like they've got, like, you know, smart TVs is just a fucking computers. And now I can't run my console games at like maximum settings because my TV isn't upgraded enough. And I'm like, where? And I'm like, fuck, man. And I'm like, what's the point of paying, you know, big money for games and paying, like, you know, buying the best consoles if you can't play them on, like,
to where they're meant to be played? Because that's how they get bad reviews. It's like, oh, it doesn't
look good. My wife is like, you're getting a new TV? So if anyone needs a fucking awesome TV that doesn't play games, I've got one.
It does play games, just not all of
them. No, if you don't care about, like, the very, 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 very best 8K fucking bullshit.
Yeah. And, like, no.
But yeah.
All right, let's jump into some mentions.
Oh, there's heaps of mentions. There's people probably out there going, well, why didn't you mention 2001 Space Odyssey? I'm like, because it's heaps good and I know that, but I just, it's not one of, like, the films it doesn't bond with me. You know what I mean? Like, I've seen it and I thought it was cool and, but yeah, and that's about a crazy Hal.
Hal.
Yeah. Hello, Michael.
You can't do that, Dave.
It's David. Yeah, Michael was the last film.
That was right. So we've got Megan. Obviously, this came out a couple of years ago, and it's
Megan.
M3 again. So this is again another AI cyborg. She wasn't a cyborg, like an android kind of thing. Technology that is advancing so fast that it's there to protect and to help children experiencing trauma, but ends up becoming an overprotector and a murderer.
Do you know what I didn't like about this film? I thought its schnick and its marketing thing is that Megan wasn't actually one of those, like, Asimo robots. Because and they used it in the film. And I'm like, that's fucking cool. But then I'm like, no, it's just someone acting as a robot. Why do you fucking use a robot? Because they've got robots now that can move like her.
Well, but we can't put robots in films. We can't have AI replacing actors and writers.
Don't have to pay it. It's just like it's just an effect. It's a special effect. You don't pay the monster in a movie. You don't pay that.
Then we're getting rid of them. What? Why can't we make a Scarlett Johansson bot and put? This is becoming an episode of Futurama where you got your Lucy Liu bot and you've downloaded that off the internet.
Well, there is the court cases for digital likenesses now. Yes. All happening now.
Yeah.
That's the right. Isn't that the writer's strike thing that they can like?
That was one of that was.
They
part,
can scan your likeness and then just put you in as many movies as you want and don't pay you.
Part of that.
I can't believe that was in the contract. It's basically said that, and I'm like, why would you think that would work? Mm-hmm. Like, that would pass. People would go, oh yeah, it's fine. No. Make as many movies as you want with me, and I don't get paid. Mm-mm. Like, it's your likeness. It's like people care about every bit section of IP that you create. Your likeness is like the biggest one. Why would people think that no one's going to care?
Yeah.
Because they wanted to. They thought they were getting in early, and people wouldn't understand the jargon. That's and so that's like tech horror.
Yeah.
Think about it.
The world is tech horror. Stepford Wives, which I did mention earlier, which it's the 1970s one is a really good watch. I would not watch the one with Nicole Kidman. It was awful. I'm going to also throw in another guilty pleasure watch of mine, which is called How to Make a Monster. This is 2001. It stars Clea DuVall. Tyler Mane, who is Michael Myers in Rob Zombie's Halloween. I think he also played Sabretooth. Jason Marsden. And fun fact is, what's his name? Danny Masterson, who is currently in jail because he's a sex pest, plays an abusive
boyfriend. What's a sex pest?
Well, he
does that sound like pesters someone for sex?
He sexually assaults.
Or is it a rapist?
Yes.
Oh, is it a sex pest? Because it doesn't sound very... Sex pest doesn't sound as hard-hitting as a rapist.
No, I didn't really want to say rapist on...
What's a sex pest?
Well, look, he hassled, he
what
used...
What is a
Are
sex
Are you Googling it?
Pest.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, well, noun, sex pest, plural sex pests, slang, a person who sexually harasses others. Harass.
Well,
it's
he's been done for assault, which is why he's in jail.
Oh, yeah, so that's
jail.
A rape.
So, yes,
yeah, yeah.
He's...
But a sex pest, I thought, would be, yeah, someone who pesters someone.
Yes.
Yeah, so harasses.
Yeah.
So that's not as bad.
It's not
so
as bad.
Don't play his crime down.
I'm not playing it down. I just don't want to talk about it. So essentially, they're 4 weeks out from releasing this game, Evolution. And they bring in a bunch of programmers.
Evil.
They bring in a bunch of programmers who are experts in their own fields, so like weaponry, AI, this, that, and the other. They bring them in. They are starting to create this monster that can run the game, and you can run the game with it. Something happens in their 3D render. There's an electrical storm or something, and the 3D render comes to life and starts killing them. So, it starts playing the game. So you now need to play the game.
There's a 1958 version.
There is a 1958
version. Is it the same film?
It is a remake, but instead of being a movie monster, it is a video game monster.
Ah, okay.
So they must then survive. They get shut down in their studio and they are locked in. They've got to survive against this giant AI sentient fucking evil demon thing that is trying to kill them with a big broadsword. This came out around the time that I was like hard crushing on Clea DuVall, so I kind of watched everything that she was in. It just became one of those like guilty pleasure films. So every, you know, couple of years I'll be like, oh yeah, I'll watch that crap again. It's, you know.
Is it like full just funny computer tech? As in like,
yes.
Or is it like, is it real tech?
It's, well, actually Stan Winston, I think it was Stan Winston, came on board to do a lot of the effects. So it does, some of it looks really good, but some of it also looks really, really bad. But I don't
the
care.
The game stuff is amazing. It looks like The Running Man. Like that kind of like screensaver shit.
Yeah. So one by one, you know, they go down and it just sort of assimilates the body and grows itself and it's becoming the monster essentially. I'm not saying that this is a good film by any stretch of the imagination. But I am saying it is a guilty pleasure tech horror. We also mentioned earlier that Japan knows how to do tech horror, tech thrillers. So you've got films like Pulse, which is people being able to interact with spirits online.
Mm-hmm.
One Missed Call, again, we talked about that. Ghost in the Machine, another one on the list. Not Japanese, sorry. I'm out of Japan. I'm back into Western.
Ghost in the Machine and Lawnmower Man.
Mm-hmm.
The Lawnmower Man. What a name.
Recent film called Cam, which is all about cam girls. And then
is that
like,
tech? Oh, I thought it was cam.
It's tech, yeah. Yeah, because it deals with the internet.
The whole, vibe of...
And AI likeness, taking your likeness and pretending it's you and you're not getting money and you're not...
Ooh.
They're doing awful things and you're having to just sit there and watch because no one believes you because you're on the screen.
Oh, is that what that's about?
Yep. Australian film called Crosstalk, which is another film that's very much like Demon Seed, you know, rich tech officer building the dream home, has all the tech goes wrong. Fear.com, which 2002 people log onto a website and, you know, I think 48 hours later they die. So it's a detective trying to figure out all that shit. Again, Homewrecker, another AI computer house that becomes obsessed with the husband. Unfriended, which we talked about at the very, very beginning. This is one of the first, this is 2014. So this is one of the first films that started to deal with using found footage, like online Zoom calls, as a means of communicating a story. And this one handles cyberbullying very closely. It's actually quite, you know, a good film in that term. You've got Ex Machina, which you wanted on the...
Yeah, so there's a whole bunch of like with the streaming service movies, you know, when they make their own movies,
mm-hmm.
there's a whole bunch of this tech stuff.
Yeah.
Like that they've done. Like there's so many sci-fis that people make with like tech horror. I think one of Mother we watched as well, where like the AI, it's all like the AIs that like, I watched that one. It was okay. Like they're all okay. Like these, you know, the ones that they make, they're just like, oh, that was okay.
Yeah.
But like it wasn't. Well,
techno, I mean, we can talk about techno horror from like, in novels especially, like the techno thriller has been around since the 50s and it's still as prominent now. A lot of those books are now being put in the nonfiction section because that shit's happened, you know?
Yeah. What about, there's also Hellraiser. Is it Hellworld? Is that the one where it's a video game?
Yes.
Is it Hellworld or is it Deader? I can't remember which one it was.
I don't know.
Yeah, they're all the fucked ones.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. There is the one of them, would, I think Lance Hendrickson's in that one.
Yeah.
Which is probably the only,
And of course, there's Existence. I haven't seen Existence, so I can't really talk about
it too
much.
I've seen Existence. It's good. It's like
it's another Corona.
I like that. It's like, you know, it's not existence. It's existence because they like the X and the X and the Z are capitaled. So it's like it's going on about like being different. As in, like, even the way the language is used in it, and the E at the front is small, and that's how it's written. Like,
yeah.
And that's just about, like, yeah, it's Cronenberg, yeah.
Yes.
It's like a, it's hard to explain, but it's like a flesh lump that you plug into your belly button.
Uh-huh.
Like, and it kind of, like, you do existence in there together. You, like, you go online together into these worlds, and it's kind of just like VR, plugging into a VR.
Yeah.
Basic thing. But then, like, you know, there's a twist, like, they're already in it.
Like, oh, okay.
So it's not that device.
Sure.
Like they're already in it and they can't remember, you know, shit like that.
Yeah. I'll watch it eventually. It's on
good.
The
it's
list.
It's a Cronenberg film.
Like, pretty certain it's on Tubi.
You have to watch a Cronenberg film. It's got big actors in it, doesn't it?
Yeah, Jude Law's in it.
Jude Law, yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
and
he makes a bone gun. Big in the day for a hot minute.
Jude Law's still pretty big.
Is he?
Don't know.
No. Couldn't tell you.
Joaquin Phoenix took over all his roles. Jude Law and Joaquin Phoenix to me were like the same person for a while. They were kind of that same actor.
Okay.
As in like they took the same roles and now Jude Law just faded out of existence and Joaquin Phoenix is like,
he's risen.
And then he's risen and then he's like gone. He's like way above now. Now he's doing shit like Joker and like and whatever the fuck he wants to do.
He's Joaquin Phoenix. He can do whatever he wants.
Joaquin. Is he River Phoenix's son?
Brother.
Okay. Yep. That makes more sense, yes.
Yeah. what am I just... Well, we've only got
River
one...
River and Joaquin. Yeah. Wow.
Oh, no, there's a whole family and there's a whole brood of them and, like, one of them's like, called Summer.
Are they all, like...
They've all got, like
American Indian names?
Because I'm pretty certain they were, like, part of a cult.
Oh.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cult names?
Yeah.
Joaquin? I don't even know what that means.
I don't know.
Is it a... It must be a different language name that I don't know the language.
Quite possibly.
Like, I thought they were just, like... as I said, I thought they were just, like Native Americans. Like, no. I thought it was like, you know, Joaquin.
They're either like River. Hippies or they were cult.
That's just me being probably really fucking dumb as well. No. Like, I just don't understand. I like the idea that they're part of a cult.
Yeah, same.
Cult of the Phoenixes.
Yeah, the Cult of the Phoenix. Yeah, that sounds great.
The Phoenix!
I'd listen to that album. So we've got Maximum Overdrive is our dishonorable mention, just purely because of how awfully good and awful it is. So this is Stephen King's cocaine-fueled, the technology is attacking us kind of deal. And as we
it's
all
funny
know,
it's funny that like it's like the thing people know about Maximum Overdrive is that it's a cocaine-fueled story from Stephen King.
Yeah.
Like that, I wrote Maximum Overdrive into the internet and that was the exact Nelly line that it said.
Well, the film is so bad because he was on so much cocaine and that we're all pretty certain George Romero came in to shadow direct and help out. But this is a notoriously bad film because
it's been
so fucked up.
It's also been helped out and it still is fucked up?
Well, yeah.
Stephen King isn't a filmmaker.
No. But he just, like, they offered him a film and he's like, yeah, I'll do that.
Yeah, I'll make a fucking,
he's fucking Stephen
Green
King.
Goblin
he does whatever
truck
he wants.
That attacks people.
You know, this film is funny in its own right, but it's also god awful.
Didn't he make The Jewel? Did he write The Jewel?
He might have.
Because if he did, that's weird that he did this. Because it's like.
Yeah, but he's done a bunch of tech stuff. Like he did that film. Well, he did the book Cell. So where the cell phone kills you.
No.
Or cell phone. I don't know. He's done some technology.
Oh, he's done a lot.
Stuff.
I don't follow.
He's done a lot. Now I've got four films that I've added to my watch list. The first being Killdozer from 1974. So this is essentially Maximum Overdrive before Maximum Overdrive, except it's a killer bulldozer.
Oh.
How the hell have
I got
not
one
seen
on there
this?
That you just don't watch? Hardware.
No.
I know people seem to like, I remember watching it when I was a kid and the whole film's red. Is that that film? Like,
I don't know because I haven't seen it. It's on my watch list though.
If it's the one I think it is, it's just got a...
I feel that it's like a Terminator knockoff.
Like it just has like...
Someone brings in this piece of technology to their home and it starts rebuilding itself using tech from the home. So like, you know, microwave
bits. I don't think this is the film I'm thinking of. I'm thinking of another one.
Mm.
The thing I watched, it was all arty and it was just the whole film had like a red filter over it, the whole fucking film.
Oh, sure.
But this does have red. Maybe it was this. Nah. I don't know.
So, well, Hardware.
It does
on
look very, it does, yeah, this one's like, it looks very Terminator-y.
Mm.
Like, very Terminator-y. Like, shamelessly.
Yeah. Well, you know, we need remakes and reboots and the poor man's version of. Obviously Deadly Friend made it to my watch list and there is a 1988 film called Death Spa where saunas basically come to life and start killing people. There's actually a film called The Lift from 1983, which is about an elevator in a building complex that
eats people,
kills people. Which I'm like,
it's one of those like movies where it's just like, just don't go in it.
Yeah, I think there's like a scene that you watch on YouTube and it's like they're trying to catch the elevator as it's going up to the next level and they're running up the stairs and it's just like this fat cop and he's like, oh God, it's going up again. And he's like, you know, trundling around this complex, you know, trying to get people out of the lift. You just put an out of order sign on it. It's fine.
It's done.
But yeah. So that's techno horror, guys. Obviously, there's got to be films that we've missed or you're going to think that something's better than something else. And, you know, that's where you get to share your comments with us and tell Dan when you go into green light. Tell me at Bonfire. I'll forget what we've talked about by then, but, you know.
Speaking of Bonfire, don't forget to grab your tickets for the next Bonfire Horror Club screening, which is The Grudge.
Yes.
I used to be able to do that, so I can't do it.
No.
And also prepare your wallets
yeah.
because we'll be back at the Adelaide Comic and Toy Fair. So they'll have our television stand.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be selling knickknacks, horror knickknacks. Mm-hmm. And it'll be like joined up to my Greenlight Comics stand where
I've got some cool stuff coming.
Cool stuff.
I've got a Toxic Crusader figure now and it comes with slime. Comes with toxic waste.
Is it like from the cartoon Toxie?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Toxic Crusaders.
Which you can also watch on YouTube.
Oh, can you? And yes. Nosy, whatever his name was, I don't know.
Yep.
Yeah. and which is on Sunday, April 21st. And if you're listening to this in the future, and it's past.
Well, you missed it.
Too bad.
You didn't buy anything cool. You didn't get a cool TerraVision t-shirt. What are you doing?
You didn't see when that thing happened that like changed the world.
Oh, yeah. Remember that thing? Oh, that was a good thing.
And just want to mention like our beautiful Adelaide Horror Cabal that we've been doing. So as in this is just a bunch of other people out there that do stuff in Adelaide. So got my shop, Greenlight Comics. We've got Galactic Video. We've got Vicious Video. Got Black Match Candles, Underground Records, Palace Nova Cinemas, and the Bob Fire Club. That's our little horror Adelaide cabal, we call it. And then we'd like to thank the people who interact with us over the... that's a little shout out to the cabal. Yeah, that I wanted to do. Because I realised we've been thanking them and it's really more or less like a shout out to people doing stuff that we like.
Yeah.
And then there's also the people who interact with us over the last month or fortnight. Need the News, Robert Thomas, Patrick Roberts, Emma Duran, Ian Westwood, Tsunami Hija, Will, Bryn Phillips, Kate Billinghurst, Chris Franks, and our mummy mum mums.
Yep, they don't listen, but they're great.
Well, they interact with me because my mum has to watch some of the films that when I'm like taking notes.
My mum asks me how it's going every time I talk to her, and she likes every one of our posts. So that's Hey.
Done.
That's family.
You've been listening to TerraVision Horror Podcast. My name's Dan. That's Jennifer. And we have a Facebook and an Instagram at TerraVision Pod. So go tell your bloody friends.
Do it. Let's grow some more. And until then, may all your dreams be nightmares.